NPR's Carrie Kahn has been covering Occupy protests on the West Coast. She's come across many occupiers who say their time of communal living was the experience of a lifetime. For Carrie, one thing about the gatherings has been particularly intriguing.
I've covered a lot of protests over the years, even participated in a few back in college, but I've never heard this thing called the People's Mic.
This is what you do. This is what you do.
Since we can't use a megaphone.
Since we can't use a megaphone.
Repeat back what I say.
We'll repeat back what you say.
I get it that in Zuccotti Park in New York, protesters couldn't use amplified sound, so out of necessity, the large crowds took to repeating what the speaker said. But the technique moved quickly across the country, even to cities like Oakland, where protesters had some powerful mics.
Mic check!
Mic check!
Mic check!
Someone screams, mic check, grab everyone's attention, and get the people's mic started.
Thank you for your patience tonight. We only had time to get through one proposal.
Clearly, the practice is time-consuming. The technique works best repeating short 4 to 6 word phrases. The more complicated the idea, the more difficult the task. On a recent Sunday, a reggae band played for occupiers in L.A. This was before the encampment was removed. I asked some protesters why they keep doing the people's mic. 41-year-old Sheila Nichols says it embodies the movement's leaderless ethos.
People's mic forces people to be participatory, to listen, to understand that we're in it together. And it's an active experience that forces people to be a part of something that's a whole.
Nichols spent 2 months camping in front of L.A. City Hall. She says being part of Occupy changed her life.
It's sort of an undefined, decentralized experience overall, which is what makes it an amazing and unique experience.
That's what I heard from many occupiers. It was the process of working as a group, building consensus, listening to every word everyone had to say that was most important to them. More important than finding a leader or one issue to champion. That's what 34-year-old James Best told me.
I think the most important thing about this movement thus far has been modeling direct democratic practice. It's a very painful process, and it sometimes seems somewhat less than defending, but it's marvelous.
In addition to repeating everything the speaker says, participants also use a wide variety of hand gestures to signify their approval or disapproval of an idea. Things can sometimes still degenerate and lose focus. That's when someone stands up and the speaker gets mic checked.
Mic check!
Mic check!
Occupiers weren't the first to use these techniques. Consensus building and the people's mic were heard during the 1980s anti-nuclear rallies and later on at the anti-globalization protests in the 1990s. However, the Occupy movement has given the tactics wider visibility. Longtime activist Tom Hayden says old-school forms of protest, following a charismatic leader or joining an established organization, isn't the only way to participate in democracy anymore. Clearly not for the occupiers.
There's empowerment through voting, and there's psychological empowerment, and both are very important in a democracy.
So now what happens to the people's mic as occupiers are removed from their encampments? The people's mic is moving too. Protesters have taken their call and response to disrupt public meetings and events. Newt Gingrich recently got mic checked.
I hope as you watch the
mic check.
Mic check!
Mic check!
Mic check!
We love you, Newt!
Thank you for standing up for corporations!
Thank you for standing up for corporations!
Michelle Bachmann got mic checked, and so did President Obama on a recent campaign stop in New Hampshire. Occupiers say the people's mic is coming to a shareholders' meeting or public event near you. Carrie Kahn, NPR News.